Blog Talk Radio.
Texas on Friday, July the 7th, a very warm summer night here in Dallas, Texas. What else can I tell you? Summer and July are synonymous around here. So if it's July, it's summer. It's going to be warm, and we're just used to it, and we enjoy it, actually. I think it's fun. I think summer is great. I love summer. I certainly rather have, you know, I'd rather have 95 degrees than 20 below zero, and I've lived in both climates. So I can tell you, at least when it's 95, you can go outside and go in the pool. When it's 20 below, well, you can still go outside, but you got to protect yourself, cover up and all of that. It's just not the same as dipping into into the pool when it's 90, when it's 95. Today we're going to be looking back for a couple of things. One is a very musical experience that we're going to go back and remember. And the other one, of course, a very sad story of what happened last year when these police officers here in Dallas were killed. We're also going to be looking at CNN and President Trump. Why don't we start with CNN? I have a post over at the American Thinker on Friday morning where I talk about CNN and what is happening to CNN. I mean, the network is in total disarray. I don't know how else to say it. The ratings are taking a huge ratings hit over the last month or so. They were always number two or number three. Now they're number three, and they're way down number three. I mean, there's three cable news networks, as you know, Fox, MSNBC, and CNN. But CNN is way down right now. I mean, they're being beaten by both Fox and even MSNBC, by Fox like 3 or 4 to 1. By MSNBC, 2 to 1, 2.5 to 1. And they're just taking a great beating, and it's just been a very bad time for CNN. I think they decided to go to war with Donald Trump. They decided to become the anti-Trump network, and I think it's really backfiring on them. And they need to make a quick change over there. I wouldn't be surprised if there's even a name change over at CNN. They've got to they've got to do something about their image. You know, in the post that I wrote today, I said that the cable news networks sort of had an identity that you could see over the last few years. Fox News, and I'm talking only about the prime time coverage right now, not the daytime, which is primarily delivering news, but I'm talking about the prime time. Fox News was very dynamic. You had these talk shows that were very dynamic, at times very combative, but they were good debates. I mean, I used to like O'Reilly for that reason. He had good debates on that show. Tucker Carlson, right now, he's not O'Reilly, but he's got some pretty interesting debates. You watch it, you know, it leaves you thinking. Then you switch over to MSNBC, and that's unwatchable. I mean, just totally, completely unwatchable in the evenings, unless you think that Bush lied about Iraq, that we went to war in Iraq because Bush's father wanted to find oil or something like that, or if you think that everything about Trump is evil. Then you watch MSNBC. But even that, it's still pretty unwatchable and predictable. And then CNN for the last couple of years had been sort of in between, kind of boring, but not boring in a negative sense. They just didn't do a lot of debates. It was just kind of more straight, laid-back kind of coverage. And then they decided to become like MSNBC. I think they wanted to compete with MSNBC, thinking that they could become sort of the opposite of Fox, sort of a left-of-center Fox, and I think it's backfired completely for them, totally, completely backfired. There was an incident today with President Trump over in Europe where they were saying that the First Lady of Poland refused to shake President Trump's hand. Well, that didn't happen. If you see the video, it's clear what happened in the video. She came over, she saluted Mrs. Trump, which is just a courtesy, you know, a woman-to-woman courtesy, and then she shook Mr. Trump's hand. And that's what happened. But somebody at CNN, I have no idea why this person still has a job at CNN, they decided to edit the video so that it would show that she was like skipping the president, some kind of a protest. Well, that didn't happen. It clearly didn't happen. But that went over the air at CNN. That's the kind of garbage that's coming out of that network. And I think the lesson for CNN and frankly for all of us is this. When you hate somebody, when you get so invested in hatred, you end up doing a lot of stupid things. And that's what's happening over at CNN. As I mentioned before, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a name change, meaning that they just, instead of being cable news network, they put some other name on it. You know, that happens a lot to a lot of industries, a lot of companies. All of a sudden, you know, you hear a commercial on the radio and you go, who's that? Is that a new company? No, it's just an old company that changed their name. Sometimes companies will do that just to change their image because maybe they had problems of some type. I wouldn't be surprised if CNN has a name change. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a major shakeup in that network, and it's going to come a lot sooner than you realize because they're losing. I don't know if they're losing money. That I don't know. But the ratings are going in the tank. I mean, the ratings are in the tank. They're drawing less than a million people for prime time. Now, that sounds like a lot of people. Not for cable television. Not for cable news. That's not a lot of people. That's not really a lot of people at all for prime time cable news. So really, for the sake of American journalism, I hope somebody cleans up CNN, and I hope they go back to just being a news network, I should say, and get out of the business of being the anti-Trump network. I just don't see any other future for them. The way they're running their operation right now, they're just not going anywhere. They're in total, complete disarray. There's a lot of good people who work there. That's the sad part of it all. There's a lot of good people who work there. But right now, they're not doing very well. I mean, right now, they are truly in trouble. And unless they do something very fast, I think that network will just get worse and worse and worse, and their ratings will continue to show it. They'll just continue to lose viewers on a weekly basis. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from my friend Carlos, and then we'll be back with President Trump in Europe.
This is Carlos Quevez, Heartbeat, and I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie Authentic Cajun and Creole Restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
Make sure you get to see my friend Carlos on Saturday nights at Nola, N-O-L-A, right there in downtown Dallas. All you got to do is Google their phone number, make a reservation. It's just absolutely fabulous, the music as well as the food. Well, let's get back to the other big story, of course, President Trump in Europe. Look, I thought he gave an amazing speech in Poland. I thought it was one of the best presidential speech that I had heard in a long time, a speech that not just stood up for the West, but also very clearly said, you know, we need to defend our civilization, and that's exactly the way we need to be talking. And it's fascinating because before Mr. Trump went to Europe, all these experts were saying that, you know, the West is divided and everybody hates Trump. It's not really turning out that way. And we're going to get into a lot more of this with Bill Katz on Sunday when we do our weekend review. But I think what may be happening in Europe is that the rift between the political class and the people may be showing up. Because, for example, on immigration, the views of a lot of Europeans, the guy in the street, is very similar to Trump. They're afraid of all this illegal immigration. They're seeing what it's doing to their cities, to their schools, to their services, and they're not crazy about it. And then, of course, the political class has a different point of view. So Trump may be, in a way, dividing the political class from the people in the streets. It's an interesting phenomenon. Also on climate change, you know, everybody thought this was going to be a very divisive issue. Not really. Not really. It's not that divisive at all. The Paris Accords have not been that big of a deal. And as far as with Putin, Look, I think that, you know, I don't know who won. I don't get into all of this winning and losing. I think both sides probably did what they had to do. But it's interesting, there was a body language expert who said that she thought that Mr. Trump came across as more dominant. I don't know, but that's what she said. But look, you don't have to show Mr. Putin that the United States is more dominant than Russia. The United States is more important, stronger economically and militarily than Russia. So I don't think that that's a big issue, and I'm sure Mr. Putin knows that as well as anybody. So far, the trip to Europe has gone rather well. There's still more to do, of course, but I think the trip to Europe so far has gone rather well. You know, it was exactly a year ago tonight when we were all watching television in total shock, hearing about these five police officers in Dallas who had been killed. It happened, I guess, about 8 o'clock Central Time. And when we first heard about one policeman being shot, and then there were two, and then there were three, and then there were more. And then later that evening, we learned that five of them were dead, several others were in the hospital with serious injuries. And it was a terrible experience for our community. One of the men who was killed, I didn't know personally, but I had mutual friends with him. His daughter had friends at our church. So I kind of felt like, you know, I knew him, not personally, but I kind of felt like I knew who he was because of his having seen his daughter at our church. And I think this entire community came together. And the best part of it all was that the country got to see our police chief, Brown, who I thought did a fantastic job during this whole thing. I mean, he came across as exactly the kind of guy that he is, a tough, determined leader who really put the force, held the force together during that difficult time. The community came together. The support for these police officers has never been stronger. So, yes, it was a terrible tragedy a year ago, and it was sickening. I remember sitting there watching it on television. It was truly sickening to watch what we were watching. But a year later, I think the community is strong. The support for the police is very strong. And obviously, you're never going to be able to replace these fathers and these husbands who were killed that night. But I think the community came together in a way that is really respectable. And so a year later, there's been all kinds of ceremonies here in Dallas today remembering these great men. And their scholarships for their kids and all of that. So it's been really, in that sense, good to watch a community supporting their police and supporting the men in blue who go out every single day and put their lives on the line for the rest of us. And that part of it was very good to watch. But again, it doesn't erase the terrible tragedy, the absolutely terrible tragedy of these police officers killed a year ago. One quick note. I mentioned we were going to go back and look at a date in history, and we are. We say happy number 77 to Richard Starkey, and most of you know him as Ringo Starr of the Beatles. Ringo has an interesting story because in the summer of 1962, he was a drummer in Liverpool with a bunch of different bands, had a good reputation as a drummer, but he was not exactly making a lot of money playing the drums. And at that time, there were a lot of, you know, of these kinds of bands in Liverpool and in other places in England. And then when the Beatles went in for their first recording contract, went in to make their first record, George Martin told the Beatles that he didn't want Pete Best, who had been their drummer for a long time, to be on the record. He just didn't think that Pete was good enough to keep up with a professional recording. So it was on that basis that Pete Best was fired and Ringo Starr was hired. And 2 months later, of course, they had a hit in the UK. And, well, you know the rest of the story. A couple of years later, of course, they had hits all over the world. And, of course, everybody wonders whatever happened to Pete Best. I don't know exactly what happened to him other than I believe he just got a federal job or some kind of a government job in London. But what an amazing story. Talk about winning the lottery, Ringo Starr. It's like, you know, one day you're playing in Liverpool, the next day you're playing for the band that became the most successful musical band of the 60s. I think that's sort of like winning sort of like winning the lottery. So we say happy number 77 to Ringo Starr of the Beatles. And I want to thank you for listening to the show. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.